You're listening to Glory 93.9 FM, 13 minutes gone by the 4 o'clock hour. It's officially Girl Talk time. It's officially Girl Talk time, and I'm excited because the studio has a whole lot of people in it today. A whole pile of people in it today. No introductions necessary. Y'all saw the flyer. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together, of course, for my co-host, Joynay.
We need the hand clapping.
Tell them which one is the hand clap. I don't know. First of all, line up the thing up for it to make noise, and I don't know what to do.
You gotta do the clap
and I can't remember. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, Joynay. Woo, woo, woo. And ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Kara T. Well, I think with y'all have had a reason to just scream for nothing. So y'all listen, how y'all doing? What's going on? Y'all good? How's everybody doing? Tell them why they ain't doing the thing. Why they ain't doing it right? You do it. There you go. Because I know they're doing. There you go. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. How y'all doing? Y'all good?
All is well.
I am great.
Yeah.
All is well.
Yeah, y'all look fabulous. I see what you mean. The thing for your eyes, I see.
Yeah, just make it look... a little eye protectant, you know.
That's a protectant?
Yeah, it's an eye protectant. That's my story, and I can stick with it.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you look fabulous, my
girl.
Thank
you. Thank you.
And this one come with all the pearls today. I should give you these headphones to match your dress.
All the pearls.
All. I can need you to pull on my closer, though.
I thought I had it close.
Okay, there we go.
And the people are saying you whispering. They can't hear you.
But true. Okay, I'm going to work on that.
Yeah, so, all right. So, I got some messages for some people. They wanted to know where we were. So we do apologize, y'all.
Yes,
it was a little delay. Blame it on the rain.
It's my fault.
No, it's the rain.
Rain.
Okay.
We blame it on the rain.
That's our story. We stick in
the rain. I name rain.
Okay, y'all see what kind of day today is going to be. So, listen, we could dive right in. I usually have something preliminary to say, but we ain't going to do no preliminaries today. We just going to dive right in. Our topic today is the addicted woman, and we're going to be talking about addiction. Your nails are fabulous.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
I just got a hair polish
today. Cheers.
Stando.
They look good.
That's my color.
You distracted woman to go.
Sorry, I am. But they look good. Okay. Hi, Glenda Major. Hi, Salisa, Lisa Evans. Listen, for those of you who are tuned in, please share it. All my faces, share the show. Like and share the show. Send the link out to as many persons as you can. And if you would like to call in, first of all, I don't even know if these are. These up. If you'd like to call in the number, no, don't. You know what? And go on Facebook because ain't nothing up right now. Nothing is up. None of the phones up. And I do apologize for that. Usually we have a little bit more to get on the Thursday, but it's just been one of those.
It's the rain.
It's the rain. We blame everything on the rain. I apologize. Hey, Rashan. Thank you so much for tuning in. All right, so let's dive into today's conversation. We're talking about the addicted woman, and we're talking about addiction. Now, while we were driving here, Kara asked me, she's like, so I wonder which direction, Marisha, you're going to take this in reference to addiction. Addiction to what? Everything.
Yeah, I thought about that, too.
Everything, which is why in naming this show, Joynay and I were intentional with not labeling it as to a specific addiction. Yeah. But just calling it the addictive woman, because if all of us tell the truth, all of us, we have something that we
some
are
way, shape, or
addicted to yes. in some way, shape, or form. And it is not only poisonous to our existence, if we tell the truth. In some cases, we can't shake it. We can't shake it. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to get rid of it. We don't know how to make it better. We don't know. Like, many of us have no clue what the first step is. And so I wanted to begin today's conversation really kind of just, let's just look at the stuff that we addicted to that we don't really recognize as an addiction. I wanted to us to start there. One for me, I always just expose myself, put myself on the chopping block, the lamb, the sacrificial lamb.
So I'm fine with that.
The sacrificial lamb. I can actually say this, and you know what? I honor God for deliverance. Your girl had a problem with shopping.
Huh? Had.
Had. Had. Had.
So, Marisha, you mean to tell me it's worse than it was worse than what it is now?
It's not bad now. I have shopped once for the year.
When you say shop, what do you mean?
Like in a major haul, like in like $300 worth of clothes.
$300?
Hold on. It's really kind of our face. God, right.
Thank you, Stephanie. It was bad. See, I don't think I could do $300. Like, well, let's not use figures. Let's just say I could do a haul. I could do a haul like that several times.
A what?
Several times within a 30-40-day period.
Just maps up the maps.
No, I'm serious. Okay, the first time I shopped for this year was after May. So that's the first thing I want to clarify. Well, I did not do any shopping from January to May.
And when you say shopping, you mean $300 loads?
Yeah, because aside from that, the only things that I would have bought were like specific things that I would have needed for like a moment in time. Like, if I could remember, I think the only thing that I would have purchased was a belt. And it was a belt for something that I needed to match with a dress. And then aside from that, it was a pair of earrings because I realized I didn't have one pair, not one pair of gold earrings in all of my earrings.
Wow.
Okay. I didn't have gold. And my outfit called for gold. So I purchased the gold.
That was a necessity.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you can't put on silver with gold.
I still think all of that is still a part of the addiction, though.
No, it wasn't for me. See, you have to know where you are.
Levels.
Yeah. And for me, it was like, it wasn't necessarily the things that I bought. It was the times when I would do it. Because many times we look at addiction and we look at the thing itself and not looking at the emotion that drives us to the thing.
So
for me, if I tell you the truth, I have not shopped the way that I used to. Like, I have been delivered from it because what it was for me was when I would get down, when I would get depressed, when I would think about the things that I lack in my life, then I go to Amazon, then I go on Ashley Stewart, then I go on Shein, then I go...
Ashley was calling your name.
Yeah, then I go on... No, I ain't telling y'all all my stores because y'all come on here, all the stores I shop at.
Call some more stores!
That's what y'all come on here for. to hear all the stars that I shop at. This is none of your business. You want to know that? You have to pick up the phone and call the style concierge. And she's $75 an hour. It was the times of day. Because like, if I tell the truth, I would shop really late in the night when I'm in my bed, when I'm reflecting on my day, when I get to that place, when I get to myself. And I've done all the busyness that my day demanded from me, and then I would get to myself, and then I'd be like, oh, well, I don't have this, or my life lacks this, and so to make myself feel better, shop, buy unnecessary things like another phone case, because you don't need another phone case. Why do you need another phone case? Why are you buying 4 and 5 phone cases? That doesn't make sense. Like, why are you what? Okay, Marisha, just because they have this thing that could hold your phone up in your face while you're laying down on your bed and you don't have to hold it up, that don't mean you need it.
Didn't need that. Wow.
You understand what I'm saying? And so for me, to be honest with you, it wasn't about the things. It really wasn't about the things. It wasn't about the quantity. It was about the emotion connected to the moment when I would decide to go and shop. Or like knowing that all of my downtime was shopping.
Wow.
Was scrolling, looking for something, like seeing what on sale and anybody, you know, having any coupons. I had an app in my phone called Retail Me Not.
Retail Me Not is it?
Retail Me Not. So whenever I go Bath & Body Works, I go Ashley Stewart, wherever, I go on Retail Me Not because I'm looking for a coupon for my purchase before I make my purchase.
Oh, you was in
deep. Yeah.
I mean, I still
I still just do it, but yeah. But I mean, like, it was like a back and forth.
Yeah.
Like, it was bad.
So this was like a part of your daily?
Yeah. Every day.
Routine.
Every day. Every day. And then you got your boutiques locally here with your shop out to your girl on their Facebook page and looking to see what they got and be like, hey, hold that for me. I coming for that tomorrow.
I try to figure out my addiction to shopping now.
Yeah, I think I need the... Marisha, you get me thinking.
I tell y'all my truth. I realized it was an addiction and I promised God that I would go 5 months without doing it and I did.
So how do you feel now? Do you, like, within that 5 months, did you want to?
The first month was the roughest one because that was my birthday month. And so that was really where the sacrifice really took place, if I tell you the truth.
Yeah.
The sacrifice really took place in my birthday month because I said, no new clothes for your birthday. If you get new clothes for your birthday, somebody else got to buy that. You ain't buying that. Because I don't need it. I did not need it. I didn't need it. I had enough clothes in my closet. No, you don't need no shoes. No, you don't need this. And so I told myself, No, you do not need these things. So January was the most difficult month. February was a little hard too because I usually make up for not being in a relationship on Valentine's Day by shopping for myself and buying stuff like perfume. Like every Valentine's Day was my perfume shopping time. I go to Jumbo, I buy me a basket, and then I buy me like perfumes. Because you know, nobody else buying it.
It's
for me.
Really the people,
so,
not one perfume. Perfumes.
You know, perfumes.
And did you like do this thing where you validate it? Like,
yeah, because
loving myself.
Yeah, because ain't nobody loving me, so I gotta love myself. Mm. Mm-hmm. So I would do that. So I didn't do that in February. Well, and the truth of the matter is, I couldn't afford to do it. So God is kind.
All things work together. All things.
I couldn't afford to do it. And then so by the time that third week in February passed, it got a little bit easier. Okay. And then I had a low moment in the month of March where I came very close. See, because I was so committed to this, I deleted Amazon off my phone. I took Amazon off the phone. I took the Shein app off the phone. I took my Go Postal app off the phone. I took Aeropost off my phone. And I just cold turkey.
Wow.
Cool turkey.
So strong.
I had to do it because I was running to shopping before running to God.
Mm. There it is.
I was running to shopping before running to God.
Yeah.
And so I had to do it. I realized that I was going to that feeling of getting something new before I was going to the feeling of come Holy Spirit.
Wow. Oh.
And that is why I said, child, no, you got to shut this down. So I'm good now. I had some withdrawal. I won't lie to you. Sometimes where I literally had to set my phone, like, by my makeup, which was a stretch for me to get up out of my bed to reach. So the phone would be charging over on like my little makeup desk thing. So when I get up in the middle of the night, I don't be tempted to...
Wow.
To do it because the makeup desk all the way on the other side of the room for where I got to go to the bathroom. So that means I got to walk all the way around my bed to get to it. So yeah, I switched the side of the bed that I slept onto so I wouldn't sleep close to where my phone was charging. Everything. Like I made a conscious effort to separate myself from the temptation. I stopped bringing my iPad into my bedroom. If I brought my laptop home from work, I would leave it like outside of my bedroom so I don't be tempted.
I need to try that.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not ready. Yeah. I thinking about it. I don't think I'm ready.
You aren't ready?
How do I know if I'm addicted?
Now that's the question. That's the thing.
Let's get that out of the way.
I would say this: to know whether or not you're addicted to something is for the believer. Do you go to it before you go to God? Because that suggests that your priorities are in the wrong order. So that's one question you could ask yourself. And then the next thing is, can you go a day without doing it? Can you go a day without doing it?
Well, shopping, yeah.
But no, what?
But okay, so here's where I'm at. I believe that what you put worth to is what you worship. I believe that what you put worth to is what you worship. Mm. And how I came to that belief is, you know, when, first of all, let me say I love the Lord mm-hmm. with all of my heart, my mind, my soul. But when it got to the point where 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm literally reaching for the phone to get to my devotional. I don't know how 30 minutes later, I still scrolling on Facebook.
Mm. Okay.
And I when I come to the realization that I'm doing that, I'm like, mm-hmm. wait, what?
Yeah.
And then devotion time over.
Yep.
So now I got to get ready for work. So now I got to squeeze in God after that and take my time scrolling on Facebook mindlessly. And so it got to the point where I want to be like that with my morning devotion. I want to do that mindlessly to where when I wake up,
that's the first thing
you do. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I started to justify it. But if I'm being honest, but this is honest, safe. This mm-hmm. is a safe space. Mm-hmm. Right? Okay. I started to justify it by saying there are people who message me and ask me to pray for them. I need to go in Messenger.
Discord.
People are laughing. Okay. I need to go in Messenger.
No, I love it because I did that. I did, but not the same way. Like how you made the excuse. I was thinking about the excuses that I made. Like I used to tell myself that, like, okay, no, people just look for me to post my outfit every Sunday. It's an encouragement for them. So I have to buy something new.
Okay.
Yes, I have a problem. I had a problem. Listen. Everyone, I love my good stylist, Angie. But when this was an issue too, I hope my pastor ain't watching.
Oh, Jesus.
I reached the church. Church starts at 9. Supposed to be there no later than 8:30 so that you can pray, uh-huh. get your bearings right, or something.
Right.
You check in with the dancers, you check in with the singers, the band, the sound, all of that. And I in the corridor, I late.
No.
I late and I in the corridor taking pictures. And I had to check myself.
Wow.
Yeah.
I had to check myself with that.
Wow.
You know, that was dangerous ground. So if we being honest, because I see a lot of my learned, my good worship leaders, and only me and you, Marisha, so don't feel too bad. Mm-hmm. But you have to be honest with yourself and realize, because my thing was, I could do this after worship, but then my makeup can then be sweat off.
See, I just redo my makeup.
See?
Oh, you just redo your...
Yeah, I just redo my makeup.
I can't do it.
No.
I can't do it, so I never saw pictures.
Yeah, I just redo my makeup. That's my problem. They could tell you, like, I'm anybody on Sunday could tell you after we finish leading worship, I in the break room, after service is done, I in the break room, and I literally touch up my makeup twice every Sunday because I touch up in between services. And then I touch up after service because we gotta take picture.
No.
You win.
No, yeah. I can't.
You win.
Now I will admit, I'm usually at church early on a Sunday morning. So but pictures are not on my mind. I will be honest with that. That's not on my mind.
So that's why you do it after.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause no, see, I can't do that.
The touching up for me, I can do it.
I can't do that. But I understand where you're coming from though, Carol, in reference to like waking up in the morning and I think too that we sometimes look at our habits and we don't consider them as addictions because they don't appear to be extreme to the public, but they're very extreme in private. And I think because we look at people who are addicted to things like alcohol, or like if they're addicted to like a substance like heroin or coke or weed or whatever, or if they're addicted to sex or addicted to the same sex, whatever you want to call, like whatever, because these are things that alter your personality in public and alter how you present yourself to people, you see that as an addiction. Yeah. But we don't even realize how much these little things alter our lives and it alters our perspective, because we could be as healthy as we think we are on the inside in reference to our purview and our view of ourselves and the experiences that we've had in life, not realizing that there's an addiction sitting that we're feeding constantly and it has completely taken over our lives. It's what I like to call the enemy's sneaky way of sliding in when he presents himself with something that could take the place of God and you indulge in it once.
Subtle.
It's very, very subtle. Yeah. And then all of a sudden you find yourself running to that thing, that person, that experience, that action, that feeling before you get to God. And so I definitely would say for the believer, it has to do with the things that we place before God. It's different for the unbeliever.
It is.
Because for the unbeliever, it's the thing that they can't control.
Wow.
For us, it's never a matter of control, because when we say yes to God, we say we surrender. So we, as believers, we should never be looking for control, ever. We have forfeited control when we said, Lord, I surrender my life to you.
Take my life.
Yeah, we forfeited control then. Mm-hmm. But for the unbeliever, it's a matter of control. So for the unbeliever who is tuned in, who's listening to this, and you're trying to figure out, okay, I don't have any addictions. Or you're saying to yourself, no, I have addictions. Nothing. What is it that you do that you can't control? Like, you can't stop yourself. Like, you just have to do it.
Every day. And if you're not doing it, you're thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. And that's another thing. Are you planning to do it?
Yeah.
You planning to do it. It takes over your mind. It seems crazy, but I spoke to somebody recently. I realized that they were addicted to the idea of people talking about them. It seems like a strange addiction, but they always, always obsess over somebody's conversation concerning them.
And these are bad conversations.
Just a conversation, period. Oh. People talking about them, period. They like the idea of people talking about them.
Oh, okay.
But they would pretend as if they don't, like, they paint the picture. I don't know why she don't keep my name on her mouth, but they actually like it.
Okay.
And their constant conversation is always somebody talking about me.
Ooh.
So there's this underlying, like,
I love it, but I don't love it.
Yeah, but something's underneath it. And what's underneath it is a lack of affirmation.
Yeah.
I'm trying to process what you just said.
Because it's these are the things that we experience on a consistent basis, the way we live our lives, and we don't think deeply. And that's one of the our main purposes for the show is to get us to think more deeply about our lives as women. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we crave? We crave that we demand every day that have become idols. Because if it's something that you cannot live without and God can't give it to you, it's an idol. It's an idol. Because he should be the only thing we can't live without.
The only thing that's on our mind 24/7.
Exactly.
Thinking about doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
See, when Kara touched that Facebook, that was something for me. Because I already thinking like, okay, I don't think I'm addicted to anything.
Right.
But it ain't Facebook. I get Facebook, cool. Mm-hmm. But that TikTok.
Yeah, Lord, that could suck you in.
TikTok and Instagram.
TikTok.
I scared to download hours. That on my phone.
You want on TikTok?
Hours.
That's a song. Yours.
Please don't. Oh, listen. Any of my friends watching, y'all know how I feel about that song. That song needs to be downloaded. I mean, deleted. That song is everywhere. Oh my gosh. We need to remix that and make a gospel song.
No. I just posted something the other day. Don't remix it. Don't do it.
Don't remix it. But on a serious note, hours could go by and you just sell. And I really got addicted to it when I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I was like, And the lie I told myself, well, I'm just here because I want to see, you know, what other moms are doing to prepare. I didn't see what they wearing.
You called for the okie doke.
I need to see, you know, how they prep in their nursery and all these great lies I'm telling myself. And then after a while, I realized, like, okay, you really, it's always on your mind. The minute you open your phone, you don't want to go to the Bible app. You want to go on TikTok.
Now, I will admit this. I have programmed myself that the first app that I open on my phone is my Bible app every morning.
Not WhatsApp.
No.
Not TikTok.
No. Nope.
Not Instagram.
No. Nope.
Facebook.
The only way another app, like the only way WhatsApp gets open is if somebody WhatsApp called me because they unruly and don't know not to call me before a certain time.
Okay.
Because you know some people who don't know WhatsApp etiquette.
Hold on, wait. I may be one of the people.
Do not call nobody on WhatsApp before 10 o'clock.
In the morning?
No, Mom, Marie.
WhatsApp is not. Okay, if you call me on a regular call, fine.
Before 10.
Before 10, fine. But WhatsApp is considered social media. I feel like you shouldn't be reaching out to me before 10 o'clock. That's social media.
I know.
Well, like, that's not personal space. That's public for me space.
And my minutes, right?
Yeah, for me, it's best you call me on WhatsApp.
No.
Marisha, you don't want to call people's cell phone from landline.
No, but I call from my phone where I have minutes.
But it's really before 10 o'clock. So,
That's such a.
So, what's so special about 10 o'clock? Yeah. What happens before 10?
I don't like the first part of my day. I don't want it to be consumed with what you want to talk to me about.
What if it's important though, Marisha?
Then call me regular.
What if I get no minutes?
Well, then.
And I never get minutes.
That's
not my problem.
Text. It's really the 10 a.m., honestly. That was very exact.
So, 10 o'clock. 10 a.m. No, see, because I ain't gonna lie. And if y'all tell the truth, y'all feel this way too. People on WhatsApp feel like they have access to you all the time.
Marisha, I can't agree with that.
That's why I changed my number twice a year.
See?
I don't have that dedication. One, two, just put your phone in do not disturb. Put it in airplane mode.
But as for me, who was addicted to Facebook, you know, airplane mode ain't gonna work.
No.
No, but you could
Wi-Fi.
And you still could get WhatsApp calls on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Somebody said they thought I was gonna say 7 a.m.
Six.
No, 10 a.m.
No.
10
a.m. 10 a.m. 10 a.m. I mean that's and most people will tell you if they call me before 10 o'clock, they know they're not gonna get an answer. And that ain't just weekdays, that's every day. Because the reality is if you call me on Saturday before 10 o'clock, if ain't nobody dead, no, because even if somebody dead or get married, I still ain't answering the call because I to the funeral or the wedding. And you better don't do it on Sunday because I up on the pulpit. So no.
It's the 10 o'clock.
No, don't call me before 10 o'clock. I'm sorry. That's just me.
Because you ain't one of them people. This is a segue. Watch it. This one could be smooth. Watch it. You know why you could do that? Because you're not one of them people who is addicted to being needed.
No.
And there are a lot of people who are addicted.
You need me, you gotta wait.
To being needed.
Great God.
No, you have to wait.
So I used to be one of them. Anytime you need me, I'm here for you. You can call me on Facebook Messenger. You can whatever you need Facebook to do, Messenger I will be there to pray for you. And then well, I was stupid but
well,
wow.
I usually put out a disclaimer. You can message me anytime, call me anytime. If I don't answer, I will get back to you. That's it.
You can't get back to everyone, though.
But you can't blue tick people either, though.
But when we say can't, you mean we shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
Okay.
Shouldn't blue tick people. You can't do it to God's people, though.
Pray for me.
I think so. Yeah.
I plead the fifth.
No. Listen, there's a very small number of people that can reach me before 10 a.m.
We still.
It's really the 10 a.m. We should probably let the 10 a.m. go, honestly. What about 9?
No, 40? No. I tell them y'all.
Well, I know.
Someone say don't open the message at all. Holy Ghost, Lisa.
I don't. I don't. And especially if I've had a long weekend. Boy, listen to me. There have been some Sunday nights into Monday mornings. My phone turns on when I get to the office.
That's fine.
And I read my Bible on my iPad.
That's fine.
Or on my other phone that nobody have the number for because you don't need it.
Gee.
But anyway, so that I think we have, like Kara said, I think we have a problem with
being
not just being needed, but I think we have a problem with boundaries.
Mm.
Too.
Yeah.
And I think it comes out. You know, this is gonna seem like I'm attacking somebody and I'm not attacking you. So if you offended, I apologize. No, I don't apologize. I'm sorry. You might feel attacked. Disclaimer. You may feel attacked. Point here. You can tell when a person does not have personal boundaries in their life based upon the lack of boundaries in between you and them.
Mm.
If you feel like this individual in your life is always crossing boundaries, more than likely they have a boundary issue in their own life.
Mm.
And there is something that some things in their lives that have not been laid out as in like, okay, no, enough of this. Don't do this anymore. Don't consume. Like, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When the Bible talks about like, I can say this all the time, a little bit for the stomach's sake, but don't get drunk with wine. They always like to use those two passages of scripture interchangeably. And say, well, you know, it permits them to drink alcohol. And then on the flip side, you shouldn't get drunk. And we like to put these specific passages of scripture, place them on a person's activity, a person's actions, and we don't look at the root of the action. And I think that's the part of the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life that we don't see as believers all the time. And even those who I would say call themselves Christians, but they're really following a folk religion, which is the religion of the nation, not having a relationship with God, who have a vicarious relationship through their pastor and through the people around them, who say, well, all the Bible say I could do this, and the Bible say don't do that, right. And the Bible say this, and the Bible say that, not realizing that you need the Holy Spirit of God to open up the Word of God to actually reveal to you what your truth is concerning this thing. So, whereas for me, you may look at me and say, like, well, Marisha, ain't nothing wrong with you drinking, but then there's an individual who I'm called to minister to who struggles with alcohol, and if they see me with a Heineken bottle in their hand, they will think it's okay for them to drink. They will end up being an alcoholic while I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And that's not okay. It's not okay for me to be out there doing things that could cause somebody else to stumble, because the Bible says it's better for you to have a millstone around your neck and for you to be thrown into the ocean than to cause one of these little ones.
Yeah.
And little ones ain't just mean children. Little ones means babes in Christ.
Yes.
If you cause somebody who's not at the place that you are in Christ to stumble because perhaps the thing that you are doing they're addicted to, but it's not a big deal because the Bible says this and Bible say that, you end up putting yourself in what we would call religion. That's religion. That's not relationship.
Yeah.
Because what you and your husband do, Kara, is different from what Joyne and her husband do. Mm-hmm. What y'all boundaries are for your marriage is different from the boundaries for her marriage. Just because the two of y'all have a marriage, it doesn't mean that the boundaries are the same. And so we cannot put those same kinds of boundaries on our relationship with God and just expect people to just be like, well, you have to deal with it. No. Your relationship with God should go according to who God has called you to be and who you are as an individual. And I think that that's where I feel like as Christians, we've fallen down. As a Christian nation, we've fallen down in reference to dealing with the issues and the substances and the addictions that people in our country actually face. When you could see pastors, I hate to say this, but on the family island, sitting down drinking with their members, that's a problem.
I just want to stick a pin. What this table do you?
I don't know. Sorry.
I mean, because she tried to break up the whole table just now.
I apologize.
But also, our camera shake.
Yeah.
I understand.
No, but that is a problem, though.
I heard sorry for that.
That's a problem because if as a man of God or as a woman of God, you understood how prevalent alcohol addiction is just on the family island, period. You would stop.
I just think in that case, persons aren't really as submitted to God as we would like them to be, or as they should be.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I want to say that. I don't like to measure people.
You have
level to of submission.
Sometimes discern ignorance versus intention.
What do you mean by that?
You think they're like ignorant?
I think
people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people, based on where they grow up, who is, I guess, let me put it like their head, who they're eating from, cleaning from.
Yeah.
Like you say, that babe in Christ that's you with a Heineken bottle.
Exactly.
Might end up being, because I see minister.
Yeah.
It's okay. Just a little bit for the stomach. The people who say they ain't drunk the most is be the people who way past drunk.
Indeed.
See, yeah. So sometimes it's just from a place of ignorance. And I think when we address certain things, we need to know when we're addressing an intentional breach versus you just really lost right now.
Wow.
I mean, but on the flip side of that, how lost could you really be?
Oh.
I mean,
take it not for granted.
But I mean, no, but like, how lost could you really be? Because it's the same Bible you're preaching. I mean, and you, that.
You ever hear people get into the word and you there reading like.
What you see?
But you explaining. But what you explaining in what? And I trying to figure out something wrong with me.
But I mean, that's what the Holy Ghost is for. You don't feel convicted.
Ah, and religion.
You don't like something in me. Joe, come on. No, that's not right. I mean, like, no scripture need to tell me that. No head or nothing need to tell me. Your conscience alone. Moral alone.
One mind.
Anyway, one mind. All right.
But I think this is an important part of the conversation on addiction too, because when we talk about the idea of something being out of control or something taking over your life, shouldn't there be a pricking and a nudging by the Holy Spirit of God within us as believers to say, don't do that? Because we like to look at other people and be like, the Holy Spirit don't speak to you, eh? But what are you not listening to the Holy Spirit saying concerning you as you look at that person who's not listening to the Holy Spirit?
I can tell you what
has he said to you? Stop. Like, one of the things that Jesus.
You search me, oh God.
Holy Spirit been telling me, Marisha, too much sugar. Too much.
That's an addiction as well.
Sugar. Too much sugar.
It's juice.
Woman of God. Juice. Candy. Soda. I don't drink soda like that, but juice.
I just was talking to the car with juice. Before,
I repent.
Before the show.
Iced tea. Cake.
Don't. Why are you pointing at me when you say
I
cake?
I have a problem with cake.
Okay, because
I have a problem with cake. I can
throw them under the bus.
Yeah, go ahead.
So y'all, I had breakfast this morning when I landed, right? And it was joining. I don't know if you see the picture. It was like sautéed kale and mushrooms and tomatoes. It was so good, but it was just veggies and then a nice scrambled egg and then a blueberry bagel with some low-fat cream cheese and a little slice of avocado. And I felt like I was ready. I was on top of the world. I was ready for this entire weekend. And then I go on and hop in the car with Reverend Christopher Roberts. And he felt like, because he wanted carrot cake, and you know I like cheesecake.
Right.
That he is going to go in the piece like, you want a cake? No, I do not want cake because I feel good. I'm ready.
Right.
And he brought the cheesecake and put it in my hand. Everything in me say, Cara, you don't say just you can days, eat good because you have to minister this weekend and you have too much to do for you to put, you
just
know.
Just a day.
Got me. And I say to myself, Kamal sitting in the back seat, speaking in tongues because he wanted peace. He ain't gonna know. He had to go buy you one. Because when I tasted it, whoever that woman is off Carmichael Road, right?
My
it
God.
Was, that was the best thing I've ever tasted. And before I know it, I blame the devil, though. Let me tell you why.
Yeah? I won't hear this.
Let me tell you
why. I really won't hear this.
Go to the next segment.
What did the devil do? Tell me.
Tell me what he do.
Seriously. Listen to me. Last night, I found myself praying. I was like, God, those who, the Bible says that the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And I
I don't know how it is for you, Kara. I don't know how it is for you, Joyner, but I'm starting to realize that I can accomplish nothing outside of the Holy Spirit. Like, nothing. I cannot do anything if I don't have the help of the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. I can't do nothing. Even when it comes to resisting sugar, I had to speak to the Holy Ghost last night and to say to him, "Babe, help your girl out. Not Boy. To drink no lemonade today.
Wow.
Not to drink no iced tea today. Not to eat the blueberry waffles that I did eat today, because I had some blueberry waffles with icing from Pau.
But blueberry is a fruit.
See? And then these same people just blame the devil. It's a fruit. You had a serving of fruit.
Oh, yes. Jesus.
And it had a lot of blueberries in it, you know.
I'm proud of you.
Two servings.
It was good.
And it had, she, you know, if you ever go to Pau, they don't serve it with syrup. They serve it with like icing on top.
What is that Pau place?
Yes. Ooh. And it was.
What y'all need to do is set me up.
It was divine. But if this was SA, Sugar Anonymous, my name is Marisha, and I have a problem with sugar.
Hi, Marisha.
Can we welcome Marisha?
I see you.
Listen. No, but these are things, like, yeah. Seriously, these are things that, like, it's taking over our lives, man, y'all.
And not just taking over our lives, but it's killing us.
Yes.
Mm. And my pastor always say something like, if you love it, let it kill you then.
Ooh.
If you love it that bad, you know this, what, and it can be anything.
Anything.
You know whatever it is that you're doing too much of is detrimental to you. But you don't love you enough. If you love it, let it kill you then. Since that's the route you want to take.
Because discipline doesn't feel like love.
Hmm.
Think about it. Does it feel like you're loving yourself when you discipline yourself? Or I feel like you're telling yourself you can't have something or you can't do something? Yeah.
It's a restriction.
It doesn't feel good.
Because
in our minds, love says just you could do whatever you like.
Marisha, what's going on today?
I don't know.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
I don't know. I must need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let me mute my mic. I can pray in the Holy Ghost for a while.
The point is, no one likes restrictions.
Yes, yes. Nobody like being told you can't do this, you can't do that. So the reality of the matter is, love does not seem like love.
Because a lot of people think that when we talk about freedom, in freedom in Christ, you're just free to act how you feel.
But no, that's not really what the freedom is.
It's not freedom to sin. It's freedom from sin.
Oh.
It's important to know the difference.
Jesus!
Get the cloth. What are ushers? Come.
It's not freedom to sin, people of God. It's hashtag freedom from sin. It's
freedom from sin.
I love that. That's really
hashtag
good.
Freedom from sin.
I love
sin.
That.
But that's a serious thing, though, Carl. And I think before we could even get to the idea of what love looks like, for many of us, we don't love ourselves, period. Which is why addiction has taken over our lives. We love the thing that we're doing, the substance that we're consuming, the feeling that we're chasing after, the things that we can't stop purchasing or whatever the addiction looks like, we love that thing more than ourselves.
Yeah.
And we can't pretend as if we don't live in a society now where people are doing whatever they want to do to get attention on social media, whatever it takes to get attention on social media. So we can't leave that out. We can't leave that out of this conversation on addiction, because some of us are addicted to the likes and shares.
Mm. Truth be told. Well, and we feel less than
when we don't get likes and shares.
Yeah.
I think I do.
I don't
post that much.
Brunei, you just have low iron, baby. I see dice too. It's okay.
Oh, Jesus. Brunei, you talking about low iron, eh?
No, I think she's saying she's addicted to eating ice.
No, she have an addiction.
That's real, real.
She need to get delivered.
Like, it's...
She need deliverance.
Wow.
Brene, I can't defend you. I don't really know.
Brene, I tried.
I can't help you. I tried.
Ah,
up, Renee? I'm just messing with you.
I like eating ice too. I have no iron.
But I don't think it's because of iron. It's just a crunch.
I don't have an ice problem. But I mean,
it's a crunch.
I also don't want to cheapen the conversation on addiction too, because for some people, addiction has completely changed the trajectory of their life. And they have, some people have lost their families because of the addictions they've had to deal with, because their entire existence was upended because they couldn't control themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy thing to overcome. And this is such a touchy thing too, even to talk about as believers, because the majority of times when we find out, we hear a story or we find out about a believer who has been basically wiped out, for lack of a better word, by addiction, we don't really talk about it. We talk around them, but we don't address the issue. So like, take for example, the pastor that's caught cheating on his wife, and everybody talks about the situation or the circumstances around the situation that's juicy and gossipy and great and wonderful. But we don't talk about the underlying addiction that got that man of God to that place. We don't talk about, you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
We don't talk about those kind of things. Or when a woman is found cheating, everybody thinks it's rare. First of all, I don't know why, but that's a whole other conversation about men and women. We can have another day and time. So when the woman is caught cheating and we realize that it's different for a woman to cheat the way, well, a woman cheats differently from how men cheat. And so it's not just a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. But then you hear her saying something like, I don't do it because I felt anything. I did it because I just wanted to. Not realizing that woman is actually addicted to not feeling anything.
The apathy
has her locked into, I'm telling myself I'm not going to feel this. And in order for me to continue not to feel, I have to continue inflicting pain to keep me in a numb place.
Wow.
I know that all too well.
It's a painful reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a painful reality. And I don't know if there's anybody who's tuned in and you feel like you want to share. I didn't even check the phone. But if you feel like you feel led to share your story or to even ask any questions too, the number to text is 828-2543. 828-2543 is the number if you'd like to share your story. Or you could put it in the comments if you feel bold enough. And I didn't put the number up, Joyne, while you remind me.
Because I thought it wasn't up.
The text line is up. 828-2543 is the text line. But yeah, so I think we have to kind of look at all the different aspects of what it really looks like to be addicted to anything.
And I think too, I was thinking about it earlier today, even like, you know, women sometimes, I'm going to say we are addicted to abuse. If he don't punch off your head or my head, however, if he, you know, if he don't choke me, throw me up against the wall, block my eye, rough up my children, it's not love. And in turn, you are technically addicted to abuse. Every time you try to get, and even in that case, it doesn't end well. So we hear stories on the news. We've heard about it recently, where females are trying to get away from these toxic males, but for some strange reason, they can't detach themselves. And then when you can't detach, it ends with you losing your life. That's an addiction. And I think it's not talked about enough. We talk about it amongst our girlfriends. Like, I could hear the conversations. Girl, he tear off my hair, but he loved me. Oh, it's my baby. I love him. But you like being mistreated.
Wow.
You like being mistreated. And then when this mistreatment goes to an extreme, when it's too far gone, then you want to cry for help. But we ain't dealing with the first signs of being addicted to that.
Right.
You could sit in the car with your friend. He only blocked my eye because I was rude to him. I deserve that. If we don't see nothing wrong with that and see that as like steps to becoming addicted, it might not be full throttle yet, you know, but these certain signs, certain red flags,
yeah,
you can see to let you know, listen, he isolates me from everyone.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
He only wants me to himself. I can't use my phone. I can't go out with my friends and he not blow up my phone like, where you is, what's happening, or come into the place to see if I really there. Wow. These things are major red flags, and we are okay with it because we see it as he loved me. He just won't check up on me because he know, you know, everybody must he want me, or I don't know, whatever story it is. Yeah. And we don't target things like that. And then when it ends bad, then everyone says, oh, well, she say he was, or he say she was.
Right.
That's what we really need to target, because it's really destroying our women.
Listening to you, I'm asking myself the question, what's at the root of that though? Because there is a behavior that was taught. There was a level of nurturing into that kind of toxicity that leads you to the place for that kind of treatment to be normal to you.
Yeah.
And I think that applies straight across the board to any kind of addiction. Like what was it about this feeling, this thing that you kept doing, or even this person, like, or with a situation or the substance, what was it about that thing that was initially normal to you, that you saw that it wasn't weird, it wasn't strange for you to do this thing as a result of? Because one of the things that I think we all three of us women would agree on is that addiction is always as a result of something. Either somebody introduced you to something that you never had before, so, and as a result, you become addicted to it.
Or curiosity.
Curiosity, right? So curiosity. You wasn't feeling wonderful, great, so you decided to try this thing once, and then after a while, every time you ain't feeling wonderful or great,
right,
you run to this thing. So as a result of the feeling that you have, you go after another feeling. For those who are addicted to sex, like you had that high the very first time, and so after that you have to have it, so you keep going after it.
Or pornography
yeah, or masturbation, yeah, whatever, however it looks.
Or success.
Ooh.
I wasn't ready for that.
I wasn't expecting that.
That's a weird addiction, but it's
real.
It's a real addiction. Not for everyone. I'm not saying that people who are successful are addicted to it, but there are people who...
You mean like when you go to great lengths to be successful? That's what you mean? Or
like team, no sleep, no eat.
Ah, to the point where you lose yourself. Like you're no longer...
Like you have to be on top of your game every time, all the time, or you lose your mind.
Okay.
Case in point, many years ago, and watch how subtle the enemy is with continuing cycles. Many years ago, I was depressed because I was over 300 pounds. Okay. So now I'm walking and nothing coming off. I eating solid, nothing coming off, or only 1 pound every two weeks. And I'm like, I felt like I was failing, even though I was trying my best. So now here comes someone. Hey, there are these pills called Dynatel. And this is a D-level amphetamine, highly addictive. So I start taking it. And within months, 100 and something pounds was gone, because you lose like 7 to 10 pounds a week.
Wow.
And I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning because I won't run. Y'all can imagine.
Wow.
Me with my big stouts, and I on the CWs on this highway, and I running. Okay, that's how high it had me. And I was successful in losing that weight this years ago. And I was addicted to, especially with everyone saying, girl, what you doing?
And I'm
telling you, like, I addicted to these pills. That's how I got on pills addiction. Here's what happened. The man I was buying them from, he was raided because they were not supposed to be sold in this country. And so what I would do is I would like buy like 3 months worth just to have.
And then he was shut down. And then the day came where it was my last pill. And that's where I started to experience the seriousness of withdrawal from a D-level amphetamine. Like, that was a serious thing. I was in my house shaking and was not. And the depression I was feeling from before,
right,
that come back 10 times because of the withdrawal from this. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so now here I am in a cycle, because when you off that, you gain more weight than you had on before.
Oh, my gosh.
So now here's the cycle again. Now I got to do, you see what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
So then people are like, why you don't eat meat and this and that? Because I'm trying to get out of that cycle in a healthy way.
Right.
And still maintain.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's very dangerous when you get to the point. There's nothing wrong with success.
Yes.
But when you get to the point that you don't care about your soul and where your soul is to get that success, then it's an issue.
Wow. Darison says, that was me with the likes and shares, but it doesn't bother me anymore.
Oh.
Chevette says, that numbing feeling is nothing to play with, especially after you've encountered so much trauma. Regia says, I think it's not talked about enough for persons to understand that there are things that are not acceptable. And how do I say her name again?
Where are we? Oh, Gonetra.
Gonetra says, that starts from childhood.
Yeah.
It is a nurturing that takes place. That's something that I never really thought about, Kara. I never really thought about how addicting success can be. But then we've seen so many successful people fall.
Yeah.
And so that's heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's heavy. How do we find the balance, ladies? How do we circumvent
I sent you something.
Yeah. How do we circumvent this? How do we?
Well, I think it's like what Kara said. You have to find a healthy way to get the result that you're looking for. And that's really it. Find a healthy outlet to get. And then don't look at slow progress as no progress.
Yeah.
Because a healthy way isn't as fast sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that was your issue at first. You
said, I wasn't trying to let patients do a perfect work.
I understand.
That's our problem sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think before we say anything else, application of the word has to be priority. Because a lot of us are trying to attain things outside of what God says. And so we're doing things based on our preference and not God's position and God's perspective.
Right. That's what makes it difficult.
And that's the issue.
And that's what makes it difficult. You never get results.
We have someone who sent a private message. They said, I don't think it's even that. I think that when I was in the relationship, I was in it. It started small. It started with excuses on his part, my lack of experience in what a real relationship should be. But on my end, it was honestly feeling like that was the only person I had or knew for so long.
Oh, like about
abuse.
Right.
That you see the wrong, but you try to hope for the change. Mm. Some people also try. Wow, this is good. Some people also try to live up to other person's expectations. They say that my parents were together for 20 years and my mom accepted him cheating and abusing her. So I feel like it's normal. Right. You lose a parent and you feel like that's all you have.
Wow.
So I think what she is opening up is another side of addiction, where like we can be addicted to a person, a thing, a substance, an action, because we are familiar with the results and we know what we're going to get. Once we interact with this person, once we do this thing, once we consume this thing, we know, listen, there's so many unpredictable things in life. I know what
this
I can
sure.
get. This is a sure
this is
thing.
Sure.
This right here is sure.
Oh, that's heavy.
This right here is sure. I am confident that after he hit me, he can say, baby, I'm sorry, I love you. And I rather that, because I know he have to come back and tell me he loves me. I rather that than just start all over with this new person where I don't even know if they'll love me, period.
But that still goes back into what Kara said about it being basically faith-based. And honestly, I may have to take my chances. If I stay here, I could die. If I go, I could die. But let me try go, because I'll have a chance.
I think too, though, it goes with exposure as well, too. Because if you don't know that there's better out there, you could never want it.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If the woman who is addicted to pornography doesn't even know what it's like, can't even imagine what it's like for her to be free from it. And because it's a private addiction, no one can really call it out by just seeing it. It'll have to be revealed by the Spirit of God. So for her to, how else will she be satisfied? Because the issue with addictions like that is that you end up in a situation where a human being can no longer satisfy you.
Wow. Yeah.
So then what do you do? What do you do when the thing that you are addicted to is not even tangible? Wow. You can't touch it. You can't even interact with it. In fact, it's virtual. It's a vicarious experience.
Wow.
How do I break free from something like that?
This guy, I'm my brain fasting. No, you laughing? Are you serious?
Serious thing.
I'm serious because that opens so many doors and so many appetites.
Yes.
You wonder why people are okay with bestiality and
yes
things like that. And
yes. Yes.
One door. Open many.
But you remember our last conversation when we were talking about suicide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, oh my God. Yes, Lord. So, I don't know what I'm about to say, but I hope it helps someone. No, because y'all may disagree, but I have been delivered. That happened over 2,000 years ago when Jesus laid down his life for me. I have been delivered. Here's what I was doing a lot. This after I got married, and I mean, I wasn't dealing with the depression no more. I wasn't dealing with all that no more. And then it got to the point where I was addicted to the familiarity of feeling pain. I needed that low so that a high could come. Like
almost
I needed
like
to,
a cutoff.
I needed to, while Mike was at work, I needed to lay in the bed and envision him breaking my heart or something.
Wow.
And I just would lay there and cry. Man, I ain't do nothing.
Wow.
Oh, Jesus.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Or I'm in, and y'all ain't crazy. I promise I'm human and I'm being transparent.
No, you're being real.
I would literally envision, like, I have a whole other life. I don't know him. I know none of y'all, but I have a whole other life. And there's someone that I love and they just hurting me because that's what I was. It felt familiar for me to cry
when you've known
and feel
all
heartbroken.
You've known is pain,
and feel heartbroken. And then when he come home and do something nice or say let's go to dinner or what's not, you know, I was in the bed crying
right
all that time just because I needed to feel something familiar. Some of us need to be delivered from that familiar thing. Some of us need to be delivered from, and no, help me Lord, that's not just the way it is for you.
Right.
Yes.
That's not what your life is supposed to be.
That's not God's best for you.
That's not God's best for you.
Yeah.
Okay. And and you can live a life feeling guilt-free for being happy.
Jesus.
Yes.
Yes.
It's okay. Yes. It's okay to be happy. Yes. It's okay to have joy. And it's okay for you to go a certain amount of time without having to suffer through something.
Right.
That's okay.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I think like you know, everything is going too good till something
bad. Something has to go wrong.
Even if I have to do it to myself.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's what ends up happening. We end up doing something bad to ourselves because we have to go back. We have to connect to that familiar place.
But I have a question, Carol. So you're saying, okay, you pull yourself in that place of pain just so that your husband can come and make you feel better? Or was it just more, I need to go back to this familiar place and then I'm going to...
It even had to be that I was about to release a song. I was excited about it. Mm. And it's been 2 weeks and nothing gone wrong yet. So
okay,
something off.
Yeah,
something. So before something else, let me
do it.
Yeah, and
at least I won't take me by surprise.
Yeah,
yeah. Okay, I get
like,
it.
I'm not saying this to myself, but this is mentally where right. I'm at. I support, like, okay, it's about high time for me now to cry about something.
Wow. Like, it ain't supposed to be good. Like, yeah, everybody
It's been 2 weeks. Yeah, and everything like, been
everybody
good.
Ain't supposed to say it was good.
Yeah.
It was good. I definitely had a moment like that recently. I don't remember if I talked to you about that training.
I
had an opportunity to speak at another church on a Sunday morning recently, Carl. Mm. And, of course, you know, because of who my pastor is and, you know, because of the nature of who I am, people will always go to him concerning me. Mm-hmm. And so people went to him and was just like, oh, she did such a good job. She's amazing, blah, 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 blah. People came to me. My mother was forwarding me messages from people that people sent to her. People was inboxing me. And I sat down and I messaged my pastor one evening and I said to him, I said, it's too good.
Wow.
How come nobody had a problem? And I, it was like, I was saying to him, I'm not used to this.
But is that from trauma? Because people usually have something bad to say.
Always.
Yeah.
I'm used to it. I'm used to being negatively criticized so much, because there's a difference between positive and negative criticism. Yeah. So I'm so accustomed to being negatively criticized or getting something wrong in the eyes of someone that now I'm waiting for it. And when I don't get it.
Or even worse, I do it to myself sometimes in my mind, like, okay, they're gonna say this. Mm-hmm. They're gonna say you should have done this way.
And even afterwards, I was telling myself, "Oh, you won't do this right, and you should have sang this, and you shouldn't have said that, or you shouldn't have said this like this. You should have said it another way, or you shouldn't have wear what you wore, like stupid stuff, babe. Like stupid stuff. But what it is though, is that it's an addiction, like Kara said, to that familiar place because."
Behold, they do a new thing.
Listen.
And God just talking about that.
Like.
It's crazy.
We are, I want to say, trapped. Trapped in the lowness of comparison.
Yeah.
Comfort. Mm-hmm. And being confident in the wrong things. Mm-hmm. Because we're confident in our comfort because it's familiar.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I could just like, I could hear like God in my head saying, but you're supposed to be confident of this, that he that began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Mm-hmm. Like that's the way you're supposed to find, like, this is the confidence that we have in him. Yeah. That whatever the petition is that we place for him, we know that we have the petition. Like we're supposed to find confidence in him, but instead we're finding confidence in situations and circumstances that are familiar to us because we know what the outcome is.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to be confident when we're being carnal.
That's it.
If we're being honest,
yes, yeah. it's carnality. Mm-hmm. It's hard to be confident. When we're being carnal, the answer to finding balance and not living such an extreme life is for us to realize too, I believe that faith has nothing to do with how you feel. It's about what you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
As women, I think that I don't like it when men say this to us, because I just be like, because I swipe. It's one man in particular who says it to me very often and I fight him every time. But I think we have to be more intentional to get our emotions under control.
Yes.
We too feelingsy.
Yes.
We like feel. And everything is about how we feel. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like talking to you. I don't feel like
you on it.
I don't feel like listening to you. I don't feel like going there. I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like not doing like I don't feel. If we don't feel it.
And that's the thing. That same feeling hinders our deliverance from being addicted. We don't even want to admit that we're addicted.
Nope.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to do that. That makes us look bad. And not only that, persons who have such great stories like Kara, I could
be a testimony to someone else. We have to scope the room. Is this a safe space? Ah, can I say this? Can I say that, or can I tell the whole truth?
You still can't. Let's be real. We can't.
Right.
You still can't tell the whole truth.
And then so,
cause child. sorry, pastor.
Honestly, and that's a sad reality. And that's why persons are still addicted. Because if I tell you what I'm really addicted to, if I don't keep it just surface to Facebook, you could judge me. Mm. You could judge me, and I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna leave worse than I came.
I can't receive from one or more.
Right. Right.
No, someone sent me. Someone sent me a video.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it's an old video.
Of you.
But not of me. Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep it hidden, Jesus.
Do it, Lord.
Do it, Lord.
Gotta hide us.
Yeah.
Go on, Gotti. He got it. He got it. We got it. Hide us.
I'll stop. My mommy watching.
But no, but someone sent me a video of another individual that is a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some exposure that happened that was, it was just like a really unfortunate situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, us as believers, we have cliques, but we like cliques, but we don't like community.
Mm. Right. And right.
When there's a wreck in the life of a fellow believer,
the believers pregnant.
See, no, we like community when it's us who need that grace.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
We don't want to give it to anybody.
We don't want to give it. So, like you said, talk about safe space. I was able to let some things out because that's just how I am with my leaders. Okay, with my bishop and my pastor. I feel like, you know what I mean?
Right.
But not every ministry I was at.
Mm-hmm.
Someone found out something about my past. Someone found out one thing about my past. Next thing, my name's Stink Ron Freeport. That I just and I that, and I just trying to live for the Lord. Honestly, you know what I mean.
Just trying to be a new creation.
Yeah, I was dealing with enough. But I was living in a little breakdown Honda.
Yeah, like come on, man.
Give me a break, man. Right. You know what I mean. Right. So let's try to
be that a spiritual restore.
Why are we like that though? Why are we so unforgiving? And let's tell the truth.
Self righteousness.
No, I don't think it's only self righteousness because
it's easy to hide.
I think that's what I was gonna say. I think that it's like a mirror situation. We are unforgiving of ourselves, and so we're unforgiving of others.
From you can damn someone to hell for something you either dealt with, dealing with, or can
relate
to. Mm-hmm. You could kill.
You. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of saying you could kill.
Mm-hmm.
You could kill.
But it's a. How can I say this? It's like. The only thing that I get in my head is, and y'all can say I need deliverance again, is Michael Jackson's song, Man in the Mirror. Because,
okay, now, seriously, Marisha, you onto it. My pastor literally just said, today is what? Today is Thursday.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She said on Tuesday, God gave her that song.
Yes.
Because it's no longer about what Kara did to me.
No.
It was never about Kara.
No.
Kara's actions only exposed
what I have in here. What was going on?
What she do make me feel that way? Or what she said?
Exactly.
Or react that way?
Exactly.
What she didn't do. That one was in the spirit woman.
Okay. For real, like you, like the thing, I always do this and to tell you the truth, is actually not healthy. So we have to be careful too, even in being conscious of ourselves, of becoming unhealthily conscious of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because for me, I do this thing where I overprocess now. The moment I see something in somebody I don't like, I immediately turn on myself.
Wow.
And that's because in the past I wasn't doing it.
Mm.
And so we have to be careful. That's why I asked the question, ladies, where's the balance? Because the temptation with addiction is to go to the other extreme. That's always the temptation. That's why, I mean, sad to say it, but I am not too sure how successful programs like Alcoholics Anonymous are, because they literally set you to the completely like other extreme.
And y'all might say to me, well, would you want them to do still drink? Alcoholics Anonymous tell you, don't go nowhere near alcohol. Don't be around nobody who drinking. Don't go to a bar. If somebody having a party, don't go. Like, they tell you to avoid it completely.
But wouldn't that be just until they're whole? Like, until you could, can a man stand fire in his bosom and not be burnt? He's still, like it's, I think, well, I don't know how this really happened. But
I do think that it's necessary to go through a detoxing, but how far do you take that detoxing?
I think it depends on the level of where that person is at. How deep in are you?
Right. And then when do you live life outside of somebody holding your hand because you've been sober for 25 years and you still go into Alcoholics Anonymous?
When you're really free.
So you don't never become free?
Well, that's
you got to go to the meeting every week for every day the rest of your life? You understand where you're coming from?
I understand.
I trying to think of how I did wean my son off the breast because it wasn't cold turkey.
Right.
It's a mixture.
You drink this similar.
Yeah.
Right.
A couple times and then.
You understand? Like,
yeah.
There has to be. Okay, I feel like if we really are going to bring a solution to it, there has to be like this balance because I feel that we hurt ourselves when we go to the other extreme in anything. Mm-hmm. In anything. We don't like to admit it, but even extreme Christianity is dangerous. We've seen the effects of it. History has shown us what extreme Christianity can do.
Heavenly bound, no earthly good.
People getting burned at the stake.
Because of
extremities. And that's why, really, all honest to God, that's really why I ask myself the question and I say it. To say, is it really effective? Any kind of support group or whatever that says, okay, today was the last day. You Lord Jesus, I exposed myself. You ever try stop talking to somebody cold turkey?
I failed.
Miserably.
Honestly, Angela, I'm good at it.
Many times.
I good.
You ever?
I think I'm okay.
I ain't talking to him no more. And you block him. And then you unblock him.
Okay, wait. Hold on.
Make a whole new profile. When I get a block, make a whole new profile.
To go.
Because I want to see what this is. Like, no, come on now.
No, I mean, we have to tell the truth. Yeah. Anytime we have tried, and we can tell us even with our diets, when we go on cold turkey.
I need no rice. It's really the rice. It's the peas and rice on the Sunday morning.
A couple days later, well, I ain't had rice for 2 days.
I took a treat. Cheat day.
Cheating.
Then you still eating rice a couple months later.
Pork and pig tail.
I think we have to be honest with ourselves and we have to realize that, like, the extreme. I think that there are times when we have to go to certain extremes, but I feel like this is what it has to be. It has to be the posture that Jesus took.
Yes.
After John the Baptist baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And the dove led him into the wilderness, led him into an extreme place. Mm-hmm. Jesus didn't choose the extreme environment of the wilderness, of the desert. The Holy Spirit led him there. Mm-hmm. I feel like that is the only place that we could survive extreme circumstances when we are led by the Spirit of God. If you are not led by the Spirit of God into an extreme situation, you will not make it.
And there was, and then they'd add the why. He was led by the Spirit of God to be tempted.
To be tempted.
He didn't come up on temptation by happenstance.
No.
So you ain't really doing nothing wrong because you facing little something.
No, right. Yeah. But I mean, but what about those who put themselves in that situation? Who lead themselves into a wilderness based on curiosity? I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Elaborate for me, please. I'm getting lost.
Okay.
Jesus, I understand where you're coming from.
Led by the Holy Ghost in the wilderness to be tempted, tried. What about the people?
Those of us who walk into the wilderness willingly.
Head on. In the wilderness. We in business there.
We make a 100-meter dash.
How? What you mean? Subjecting yourself to lack?
Mm-hmm. Whatever it is.
Withdrawal.
Everything.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
How
thirst.
How do we, I mean,
hunger.
But we talked about that earlier with being able to decipher when it's
ignorance
and intentional.
And listen, people, it's play slow, Carol. you know, mama that? Tell you. See, I run hot. Mommy say, Kara, the fire hot, you could get burned.
Yeah, but see, hold on. This is in 1935, mommy. I is my own woman, and I can live my own life.
You can live your own life and get burned.
No. This is what actually happened. I wasn't even attracted to the fire until my mommy told me not to touch it.
Same thing, but mommy only tell you don't touch it because she see you looking at him.
Yeah, but mommy, I wasn't looking at the fire. I was looking at the food that was sitting on what? Top of the flame.
Marisha, I was so serious just now. I had to pause. No, for real.
No, was not even aware. I was not even interested That's in the fire.
But I can't remember it.
I wasn't interested
until the law.
You telling me not to touch it is what made me say, "Ooh,
I wonder."
I know, because I thinking when I was a teenager, my stepdaddy came home and one of my stepbrother's friends was on the carport. I never looked at this human in that way before.
Until my
stepdaddy come and saw me on the, I wasn't even talking
to him. You kissing boys.
No, he was like, Shakara, who's that? No, none of that. And I like,
right. None of what?
I like, that's Jameen's friend, that ain't my friend. But it wasn't until he did that, and I was like, oh, so that's a bad boy, you know what I mean?
Right, I need to find out.
Yeah.
Why didn't you find out what you don't want me to know?
So that's true.
I think, too, like, I agree. There is a level of ignorance that plays into all of this. So, yes, I'm going to agree with that. But here's the truth, though. For many of us, exposure came with somebody saying, I don't think that's for you. Mm. Or your hatred of the thing. For example, have you ever, how many times have you heard a female or a male say, I couldn't stand my mommy or I couldn't stand my daddy cheating on my mommy or cheating on my daddy. Mm. And then they turn around and become somebody's sweetheart, sugar daddy. Mm.
Carol, you can't see
it. Huh?
Carol,
you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
Because what ends up happening is you begin to despise and become curious simultaneously to the point that you hate and question.
But Marisha, I have a question. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So is it still curiosity if it's a curse?
So is it curse or is it an excuse?
Ooh.
But how do we decipher?
Because we like to say, oh, that's a generational curse. My daddy them just, you know.
So. Right, but sometimes that's the reality, and like it seems
if, so how do you know the difference between an addiction that's just placed before you as an option, and then the addiction that's the curse.
Yeah.
The generational curse.
Yeah.
Huh. Boy.
I don't think that can be answered like this one.
There's no black and white answer to it, but I'll tell you something that can be considered. And I think it depends on a person by person basis. Mm. I can tell you what my measuring stick is. I always observe the things that are presented before me before a ministry moment.
What do you mean?
So, we live on radio.
No, I didn't tell you all my business.
We live on radio. Okay. So, okay. Let me go hypothetically. Let's say I had a problem with alcohol.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But the only times alcohol ever presented itself to me,
I see you. I
was
get it.
like the desire would be awakened when I know I have to go and do ministry,
or right after
ministry. Then, outside of that, like I could look at it and be like, "Yeah, I might have a drink today, but tomorrow, no."
Mm.
But let there be like this moment where there's a demand on the Spirit of God concerning me. All of a sudden, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to get home to drink that bottle of wine in my fridge.
Mm. And it don't be no difference. It's be the same. The same.
I think we can consider a situation like that in reference to it, because then the curse. The curse comes to prohibit something from happening in the future. Curse doesn't come without a purpose. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we play with these idea of generational curses because we think that it's just so the person can suffer. No, the curse has an intent. Mm-hmm. The intent is to prevent something that God has predestined and foreordained in that individual's future. It has come to try to put it to a stop.
Yes.
It has come to stop the thing that that person is supposed to birth in the earth. So if they can get caught up in this thing instead of focusing on the race that is set before them,
they could miss it.
They could miss it. And I think that in those cases, actually, that's a really good answer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. What is it prohibiting? I think is what will let you know if it's a curse or a habit. What is it prohibiting? What is it stopping? And I think we have to consider this, because y'all might say I wrong and I being too black and white in this, but I don't think it's I don't think generational curses apply to unbelievers.
Also,
because in that regard, where is the light to indicate that there's darkness?
Hold on.
I don't think you can call it a generational curse. You in darkness. You open to anything. How you could connect that to your lineage? Any sin opens the door to every sin.
I know.
That's just me.
I know.
I see where you're coming from, right? I see where you're coming from. I just having a hard time finding out how to get there.
Because the GPS door. GPS me. The door is swinging wide open.
Yes.
The house is never swept. Ever. So how do you say that this thing is like,
I mean,
what leads you to believe?
How do you gauge?
Yeah.
Where the curse starts and if you're still
like,
I got you.
Where is it? Like, there is no light. There is no light. If all around you is darkness, right? If it's just gross darkness, no glory, no light, no nothing. Mm-hmm. How do we know that this is not you swinging the door wide open to the enemy in your life? How do we not know that?
Okay, I understand.
You see what I'm saying? Because I feel as though if we're going to call this thing a curse, how can a curse exist without a blessing? The curse is a response to the blessing every time.
The curse is one being bound. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Freedom is the Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How do you gauge when there is, because let's be as a believer, if there is a generation, this is something you know, because you can gauge that this is
because you've been exposed to truth.
Yeah, you've been exposed to this truth in Christ. Okay?
Okay.
So it's sort of like if there are some fish that can live outside of water and in water.
Okay.
They breathe in water and outside of water.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So how do they know? You understand? Even though they fish, they belong in the water, but they still could breathe outside of the water.
But
I lost in your lake.
No, but see what this is my thought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe I slow.
No, you're not slow. Because no, I think I still lost and I
try to fish it all day. No. Okay. She's saying.
If point blank, if you in darkness, no matches, no light, how do you decipher darkness?
But
tell me how to decipher darkness in the dark.
Hear me out, right?
How do you tell the difference between one darkness from the other if you just all in darkness?
Okay.
How is one worse than the other? How is one from your bloodline and one from your actions? How do you know?
One believer, one non-believer. The believer knows that it's a curse. The non-believer, it's not a curse because it's an action, but his daddy.
You can't decide. You can't know for sure. That's what I'm saying.
The person or the person looking?
No, the individual.
Mm.
I can't never say the person looking can't see,
because that's what's confusing me, because you could clearly see that's a generational curse.
But
if your daddy was an alcoholic and the thing I'm before that, that's a curse.
Okay. All right. So with this newfound information that I've received, I think I disagree with my beautiful sister over here.
I'm not talking about the individual who is looking, the spiritual one who can look and see, or even the person that's on the outside and looking and saying, okay, yeah, their habits, this and that, or whatever. I'm saying to the individual that's in it, darkness is darkness. To the unbeliever, darkness. Like, I want y'all to really think about it in its most simple form. You were in a room with no light. Mm-hmm. Can you decipher the difference between the darkness in that corner from the darkness in that corner?
I understand.
If there's no light,
I understand your point, but I still don't see. I don't see them the same.
An unbeliever cannot be subject to.
I'm not saying they can't.
Okay.
Right. I'm just saying that it's difficult to tell the difference because
it's difficult for that person to tell the difference because they're in darkness.
I got you.
You understand what I'm saying? I got
you. Okay.
You understand where I'm coming from? No. So I'm asking the question that I'm asking is how do you know as an unbeliever that it's actually a generational curse? How do you as the unbeliever know?
If you're on walking in truth yet. You don't have the light.
Comments.
You know it's a curse based on the pattern of the family. It's recycling from one generation to the next.
That's straightforward. Oh.
We have another one here. This is so deep. Mighty God, why are we as believers so unforgiving? Because we too full of bitterness and hurt that we don't want to let loose. How can I forgive someone when I can't forgive myself? Mm. Another level of deliverance. Mm. No, I like I like what Apostle said. You know, it's a curse based on the pattern of the family. It's recycling from one generation to the next. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this question. Do we really believe that the person who is struggling with addiction as a result of a generational curse, who is an unbeliever, knows that?
I think so.
I could.
I think so.
Man, I didn't tell you all enough of my business. Okay, but if one, speaking hypothetically, of course. Okay. Someone's father is a womanizer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's say there's a young man. His father is a womanizer. Mm-hmm. None of them say it.
Mm-hmm.
But that young man, when he grows up and he starts to, mm-hmm. you know, he says something like, and we've all, I'm sure we've all heard someone say, well, I can't run from that.
My daddy,
and my granddaddy, them, like,
right.
That's just. You know what I mean?
Like, I don't want to say it's common sense, but it's like you not whether you're natural or spiritual, certain things you can see. I think that have these conversations.
Is it a curse or is it a learned behavior?
It's still a curse. Everything is spiritual. That's spiritual.
You see what I'm saying?
That's spiritual.
Is it a curse or is it a learned behavior? Is it because you've never seen a man who was actually faithful to a woman? So you don't even know how to be that man.
But you have friends, you have uncles. You think nobody nowhere was faithful to nobody?
I mean,
you live in a world with tons and tons of people.
It's possible, Joyne. It's very possible.
Okay.
I'm asking the question. Is it a curse or is it a learned behavior?
I still think it's a curse.
Talisha says she thinks it's both.
All right. One feeds the other. Like the
in a simple form, the curse is I think let's simplify it. What does it look like for somebody to be bound according to a curse? Because it isn't only about actions. Mm-hmm. It really begins with something that's been said. A curse begins with something that's been said. We could agree on that?
Okay.
Okay. So if a curse begins with something that has been said, when you say, like the example that you use, mm-hmm. I mean, look at my daddy. I can't be no better than my daddy.
Mm-hmm.
I've just pronounced the curse over myself.
Okay.
So if I say it, then I eat the fruit of what I say according to scripture. Right. Mm-hmm. So, but the question that I'm asking is this, is it possible for an unbeliever to see that?
Joyne,
I think, I think it's possible for a believer to see it.
What I say.
Yes. I think it's possible for a believer to see it in an unbeliever. But I, this is just my thing. If the person is a unbeliever, they do not believe in God.
They may not call it the same thing.
Right.
But that doesn't take away from it being the same thing. I mean, straight across the board, it's a curse. They'll say something like, it's just,
I can't stop doing it.
It's something that I realize that my uncle or my dad or however, they may not call it the same thing, but it's still the same thing. Tomato. Mm-hmm. All them gotta cook.
It's the same thing. They might call it connection. We call it curse.
Right. Yeah. So I think. That's why
I asked the question, really, though, because I didn't tell you why I asked the question and why I made the statement. I say all of that to say this. Can we really use the excuse then that people perish for a lack of knowledge?
And that was my point earlier. Like, you ain't slow. You ain't dumb. You know what you're dealing with. Yes.
Right. We can't use that then.
Right. You know what you're doing.
Marisha.
That's why I say it's not black and white.
And that's why I said what I said earlier. I mean, like, really, you really don't know?
That's why I say it ain't black and white, though.
And using ignorance as an excuse? Oh, I didn't know.
I mean, sometimes
okay, Carol, really some people that don't really know. Okay.
No, I stand by some people really not through knowing. Wrong teaching and wrong brought up, see?
Not knowing.
They don't know. That's the truth. They have to come into. And sometimes it's hard truths because you've been taught a certain
way. Let's go to like the most ridiculous, radical of behaviors. Let's go back to 9/11.
Mm. Oh, wow.
A man deciding that he is going to become a suicide bomber. He don't know no better, Joyne.
He know what he doing. He made a decision.
He don't see nothing wrong with it.
No, that's a belief. They believe in things like that.
Did he not perish for his lack of knowledge?
I see where you're going with this.
Yes. Y'all see where I'm going with this?
See, one of the seven virgins. That's them. That's what they believe.
Yeah.
Seven virgins.
I say all that to say, I think that it's not black and white. And I say that to say this, that I think the beautiful thing about the Christian faith is that there is no one way to live out a relationship with God that is duplicate of every other believer's relationship with God. If that was the case,
thing about the God we serve,
yes.
He allows us to be individuals.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We don't have to all, okay, it's 12 o'clock, y'all.
Oh, it's 10 o'clock. Don't call my phone.
Don't call my phone before 10.
Donnell Jones is my mom. Donnell Jones, Marisha said something about your future husband can call you 9:59.
But don't call. No, don't call her on a WhatsApp call.
Don't WhatsApp call her. Yeah, she can WhatsApp call you 9:59. Don't miss it.
In the words of my friend Joyne, what y'all could do is respect me.
RESPECT.
What y'all could do is respect me today. No, but seriously, I'm glad that we went that in depth into this conversation. But like, I really want us to think about it because this. To me, this brings us all back to this place where we kind of was in the middle of our conversation. If it's taken to an extreme, it's dangerous.
Yes.
If it's taken to an extreme, it's dangerous. Now, I want to make sure that those of you who are listening, y'all wasn't thinking that like I was making the statements I was making because I believed in it. I have to be a good talk show host. So I have to ask the difficult questions and I have to say the things that we wonder about, but we don't really ever vocalize it and be like, so because y'all just be thinking about it. You just be thinking so unbelievers, they could just be out there living their life and they don't have no consequences. No, there are consequences.
Grave. Holy Ghost help us. Just
there are consequences.
Yeah.
When your life is swinging wide open to the enemy, there are consequences. There are consequences. And I think that's what makes it even hard to come out of addiction. You might say I bias. You might say I was a crazy Christian girl. And I know my other two sisters are going to believe in me, but you cannot break addiction without Jesus.
You cannot.
Stick a pin right there. So that's probably why they go to AA for 25 years. Because
I was waiting for y'all to say it, but ain't none of y'all catch. I was waiting for one of y'all to come and be like, because it's Jesus. Because I, like, honestly.
That's why you need someone to hold your hand for 25 years.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Why do you need that?
It's powerful.
Why you need that?
Me and saying that having a thing is bad.
No, just, but. Because what you have done is switched addictions. You have stopped drinking alcohol, and now you addicted to people helping you.
A person got to keep you sober.
All you have done is changed vices. That's all you've done.
Oh, my goodness.
Eating donuts, smoking cigarettes.
Juice.
Sugar. Exercising. Because I know some people
addicted
who addicted to exercising.
Gym.
Wow.
If they don't go to the gym,
that's where they whole week off. They whole day off.
Yeah, because when you have in corporate prayer, especially Daniel fast, and the whole church gotta meet every morning, and you call in sister and they can't make it out, but you driving and you see them walking on the side of the road 5 o'clock in the morning exercising.
I ain't gonna lie, that's hurt me though. That's hurt me because God, I won't get slim too, but I gotta seek you. Yeah. I mean, all right.
Yeah.
It's all
me. Remember we said earlier, when you whatever you put more worth to
where man's treasure God, is.
That's what you worship. And that's where addiction comes in.
And so I think that it's important for us to, Lord, oh Jesus, it's time to go. I think it's important.
Already?
It passed time. I think it's important. We pass our time over our time we make up for being late. I think it's important for us to recognize the extreme nature of addiction. Mm-hmm. And that if we take a look at the nature of who God has called us to be as believers, the only thing that we've been called to be extreme about is our faith. Mm. That, like, no, every other name fades in comparison to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Nothing else can give me life. Nothing else can, no one else can direct my path. Everything else is a lie.
Mm.
Easier said than done, though, because we sitting right here and probably going to drink some sugar.
I can be honest. I was quiet a lot.
I have water in my cup.
I was quiet a lot because I get burst a couple times in my head.
Burst.
But everything cool.
There's some strawberry lemonade, and it tastes really good.
It's good. With the sugar. The sugar. See, you all see
God.
It?
Thank God.
My goodness.
See, but this is the I am so glad we're having this conversation. Kyra, you don't get burst, and yet I burst my own self in my head. And then, you know, some hypothetical situations that were presented were perhaps real for some people in this room. It's not pointing any fingers or calling any names. But it's reality, though.
Yeah.
It's reality. What do we do? What do we do to make ourselves better? What do we do to not be addicted anymore? Do we even want to not be addicted?
You like being addicted.
You like it.
We're going another hour. If not, stop right there.
You like it.
You can't get delivered from you like it too much and you want it too badly and you just.
So how do you get to that place where you hate the thing that you love?
You Ooh. Love God.
But you have some people who love God and love their thing too, though.
You have a lot of people, but here's the thing.
It's talked about it too, though.
We have but application of the word, I would hate to sit here.
Man can't serve two masters.
No, you can't serve two masters. But I would hate to sit here and not reiterate over and over and over again that knowing some scripture is different than applying the word of God.
You need it.
Apply the word of God and not see a change. You cannot. It's impossible. I dare to say it. And I want some. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You cannot. Okay? So that's like someone walking around and the minute you look at them too hard, they offend it. And they holding unforgiveness in their heart. And they wondering why they bitter and nothing going right. It's because you're not applying the 70 times 7 principle.
Holy Ghost.
You see what I'm saying? You wonder why everything dry up in your life? Because you don't give nobody nothing.
Mm.
These are principles.
Man, close.
These are principles. And once we start applying the word of God, even with the making melodies in our heart unto God, I've learned that God helps my mood, but my attitude was so stink for no reason. Wow. But doing that,
Jesus,
helped. Wow. You understand?
Jesus. So,
and anyway, uplet the word of God. It works. Apply application. Not using it as a stone to throw and hit or shoot somebody else, but yes. Looking inward. Yes. Create in me.
Or to sit on your high pedestal and look down at somebody else and be like, yeah, look down at me. I would definitely say this. I was saying this to Joynay, actually when I was on my way to get you today, Kara, mm-hmm. that it's a familiar passage of scripture, something that I know, but to hear my pastor preach it over again, it became more alive to me. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Mm-hmm. And faith comes by hearing and hearing. If you cut off the last part of that scripture, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing mm-hmm. and hearing. And hearing. Mm. And what we do is we do an excellent job of rehearsing and hearing the negative things. And that's why we constantly produce mm-hmm. the negative. That's why we are addicted. That's why we can't let go. That's why we can't detach. That's why we just a taste. We can't stop tasting. That's because we have faith in the thing that we constantly say. Hear, mm-hmm. see, mm-hmm. put our time and effort in. We know what we're going to get out of it, so we put our faith in it.
Yeah,
we know what we can get out of them, so we put our faith full in confidence. Them. Like full confidence in this man-made thing, whatever it is.
You know, it's crazy.
Or in a creation and not the creator.
Yeah. Yesterday in small group meeting, we have virtual small group meetings now. And the icebreaker yesterday that we did was, we usually hear, what is it that's the opposite of God in you? Mm-hmm. So when people ask, oh, okay, what is it you need deliverance from? Mm-hmm. What is it? But yesterday, this is what we did. We wanted everyone to use a word that describes God, that can also describe, even if it's kind, mm-hmm. that can also describe you, because we dwell on the negative so much, and everything that's we need good. To change, and we don't look at, and so wow. the inadequacies we feel are because we always looking at the negative.
You know, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Mm-hmm. Something that, like, the moment I heard it the first time, it never left me. We don't have to be told to seek after the thing that we desire. So that very passage of scripture tells us that we don't desire the king of God, the kingdom of God,
all his righteousness,
We want
the things we want to be added.
Right. The things that we added twice, then we do the seeking. That's right.
You are the rest of that. But that's if right. God has to give us an instruction, that means it's not our inclination to do so.
Mighty warrior.
And so to say, she gone, Cara, you unplug yourself, boo. How you unplug yourself, Cara?
Laughing.
Because what happened, right?
Laughing.
That's these. Oh, I see what happened.
Cara, oh. Unplug herself. But like, it's like this. It's like that. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We need to preach sin because unbelievers need to come to righteousness. Believers need to hear about the power of God, that God is real, and believers need to hear and speak faith. Because if believers constantly hear sin, 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 sin would be the focus of the believer. I'm saying we perfect and we living right, because we not. But yeah.
How are you getting?
I put it back in.
I don't think I could edit it from here. But yeah. And I think that's a good place to end. And y'all ladies, give me y'all closing.
I got nothing to say.
This girl.
Nothing to say. Cara, take it away.
It's very simple, rather. Jesus is bigger than that stronghold mm-hmm. of addiction.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's what Todd say. Jesus is greater than anything. I have a save song. Aren't you happy?
Are you happy? With the same song.
Y'all was really Y'all just carry me out, man.
Well, you all right.
Does Gabby? Yeah. What you gotta say? You gotta say something, Joe.
Yeah, I need the Christ thing to say, woman of God. That right there settles it. I mean, Jesus is bigger than. And I know it sounds like a cliche, and it sounds like crazy because it's one thing to say it, and then oh, another thing to really believe it and start to manifest it, and you know, push towards it.
Right.
And I think if you are addicted, first of all, admit it, man. If you need help, say you need help.
Be honest about the help that you need.
Be honest about it. And there, not everyone out there is bad and wants to expose you. Mm-hmm. There are some spiritual leaders that are real spiritual leaders. There are some spiritual friends that can speak into you and strengthen you and try to get you to the place that you need to be. But
right.
In order for that to take place, we have to first acknowledge the man in the mirror. You can't think that, you know, just by you shouting Jesus, you're going to be free. I mean, that has happened, but let's be honest. Let's expose ourselves. Let, you know, tell the truth about you. Tell the truth about what you are really addicted to and not just the surface. And
right.
That can be your first step to being really healed. Because if we don't know what to target, anytime Jesus would cast out a demon, he would call it by name.
Yes.
We can't.
Absolutely.
We can, you deaf and dumb spirit, come out.
Absolutely.
So if we don't know the addiction, if we're not admitting the addiction or if we want to dance around it, we can't call it out.
I would say this too. We have to be open to the Spirit of God, man. We have to be open to the Spirit of God. And that, I mean, that might sound like very like cliche, but like that's just really the truth. Like, just be open to the Spirit of God, because we have no idea what deliverance for you, Joyne, is going to look very different from deliverance for me. And that's why the Holy Spirit is so important in this conversation, Cara, because my deliverance and your deliverance is not going to be the same. Our journeys are not going to be different. Your freedom from addiction and my freedom from addiction are two totally different journeys. And that's okay.
Yeah.
But be open to the Spirit of God taking you on your journey as he'll take me on mine. And do not rob yourself of victory because you are allowing comparison to dictate your path and your journey.
Yeah. Wow.
Solomon didn't lie. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Yes.
And we would like joy to be at the end of victory. That's our desire. And so I think it's so important for us to stop looking at however that other person experienced their victory is none of your business.
Right.
Focus on what the Spirit of God is leading you and how the Spirit of God is leading you to your place of victory.
How you can get free.
How you can get free.
You won't find satisfaction in their own anyway.
No.
Right.
No. And you know, people is lie anyway. So they probably ain't even telling the truth, but they victory.
Right.
I just
stop a victory.
I just saying they probably ain't even telling the truth. No. They probably lying. Because, I mean, you know, y'all acting like these things don't happen. These things happen.
That has happened for true.
Yeah. I believe in instantaneous deliverance.
Yes.
I also believe in process.
Yes.
Yeah.
Deliverance.
Yes. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I think
it just really depends on the severity of it. Is that... Would that be it? Some things require a process.
And I think this is another conversation that we need to have, because I shared this with the young people the other day. I said to them, I said, I have a problem with the fact that some of us have to learn how to hear from God. And Saul became Paul and he heard God instantly and then went on a 3-day fast instantly. God literally, he was blinded. He was blinded and immediately he heard God. His response, if you listen to scripture, it says, Lord, who are you? What?
While he was blind.
But while he was blind, he saw it wasn't y'all come and get me out of this. And then
you understand?
And then, again.
Yeah.
So I would like to say, you know, it depends, but like, I'm like, but wait, this dude spent all of his life being the Antichrist in flesh and was struck in an instant.
That is a whole nother conversation.
And out of that That's instant, true. We have how many books in the Bible? We can't even count. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? So I say that to say this, like, I just don't limit God, babe. If God does, if God, God is sovereign.
Yeah. And if he God decides,
is, if he decides that it ends, now it ends.
Okay. And that's that.
Now I will say this, and I know Pastor Carol Moss, she will definitely agree with me, that there are some addictions that are spirits of infirmities, and when you cast that thing out, the addiction is gone.
Yes.
Because it wasn't a learned behavior, it was a curse. So when you evict the enemy out of the situation,
so it still depends.
It, but that, it don't even have to be that.
Yeah. Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
So that's why I don't like,
It's not limiting the power of God, but then it's not
limiting God.
And you're not using wisdom.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because the reality of the matter is, when you listen to what Paul talks about after that, he talks about the thorn in his flesh. And many are still guessing what that thorn was. But God strike him down. He heard God, went on a 3-day fast, write all them epistles and apostles and bishops in the Bible, and then still had this thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, to be continued.
Wow.
You're bringing Kara back.
Kara got to come back.
Wow.
To be continued.
Yeah.
Let's end like this. There is therefore now no condemnation in Christ Jesus for those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You want to be free from addiction? Don't walk after your flesh. Walk after the Spirit.
Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee.
And all things work together for good.
I think y'all really came to preach today.
It's love God.
Listen,
we gotta go because Kara's still in on the camera, and I can't get access to the computer no more. So we really gotta go.
Okay,
we really gotta go. We gotta talk about. I can make sure they work.
Hi, I ready?
You ready?
Next week's show, we are back at it. This is Thursday, June 16th. Here, same place, same time, 4 p.m. Gossip Girl. Emote is one. Like, force it. Gossip Girl. We're going to talk about it. Please tune in.
Yes.
Then,
yes. On the
23rd. On the 23rd, we'll talk about suicide. Hashtag I will live. You will live and not die to declare the works of the living God.
Yes, sir.
It's a hot one.
Can't wait for this one.
I can't wait for all, but this one probably really good.
Yeah.
Thursday, June 30th, 4 p.m. Same place. Confidence versus pride. What you could do? What you could do? Are you really confident? Or are you really prideful?
Arrogant.
I
fully yourself.
My. It could be hot. My. So tune in. Don't miss it. So you thought you was going to work for me, but I was ready for you today.
I was ready. Listen, it's been an amazing show. Listen, get you some good girlfriends. We are sitting in the room with our girlfriends today. And I'm so glad we got to do this show with the three of us in this room.
Yes.
Can I just put it out there? Y'all, let's be out there talking, but we don't like each other and it's not true.
Honestly,
no. I'm sorry. I had to say it. I know y'all thought we can get. But I know y'all thought we can get through the show without it being said. No, I have to say it. Y'all think me and Kara is vibe, and y'all think Kara and Joanie is vibe.
But honestly, y'all see Kara nails though. I tell her, come on, woman of God.
She can't even put her nails on the camera no more.
Let the Lord use you.
Anyway, so get you some good girlfriends like these two ladies. And guess what? You don't have to be in this person's space every day. You could just know this person is in your corner.
Yeah.
And you know they got your back.
Yeah.
Get you some good girlfriends, the shoulder that you can lean on, the shoulder that you can cry on, the iron that sharpens iron, somebody who can be there to help you, to guide you through life, to help you break the addiction off of your life. And while you out there looking for girlfriends, don't forget to be that girlfriend.
Yes.
Don't forget to be the shoulder that somebody can lean on. Don't forget to be the iron that sharpens iron. Don't forget to be, you know, let somebody put makeup on you instead of you putting makeup on somebody all the time. Mm-hmm. Be the shoulder somebody can cry on.
So you saying you doing my makeup, baby, Marisha? See ya? See
I don't
you
like
go?
Touching people's face.
There you go. Everything cool.
I don't like touching people's face. But listen, y'all, we got more great episodes of Girl Talk coming your way. We really got to go. Joanie got to go to church. I got a meeting. Kara need to get into her hotel room.
I got to go to the studio.
She got to go to the studio.
I pray your strength.
We some three busy women, and I pray to God that one thing rub off on them, off of them on me. A husband I could use as an excuse to say why I ain't showing up.
See, it's an unspoken rule. Listen there.
Listen.
I'll check with my wife.
Yeah.
I'll check with my husband.
Hubby say.
Hubby say, we can't do that tonight.
No.
Yeah, I'll ask Mike.
You see what Daniel say?
Yep.
I think he won't go.
Yeah.
Anyway, the Lord bless y'all and keep y'all, make his face to shine upon y'all and be gracious unto you. Let me stop. Y'all, it's been an amazing show.
Hasta la vista.
We love y'all. See y'all next week. Same time, same place. Have a glory-filled week. Find a tribe.